listening to Peach Pear Plum, a parenting podcast.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Here we are.
Singing is the word we're exploring today.
Singing.
Yeah, singing. We're going to talk to some people in our world that sing. We're going to talk about singing, you and I.
I love that. Our part of our work here at Kootenai Kids is singing with kids. That I get to hear kids singing, cooking away in the kitchen, and hear all of you singing. My kid wanders around the house singing the songs that he heard here. Yeah.
Working with children and using songs is magical because even the children that are not paying attention, they're picking it up. They're moving about doing the things that they do and they're hearing them. And then those same parents will come back and say to me, I didn't think they were listening, but they corrected me on the words when we were singing at home. I'm like, oh yeah.
Four-year-olds hear everything.
They're listening. Yeah.
How did you come to have a job where you sing with kids as part of your work? What was that journey like?
I was so very lucky. I was participating in a parent-child Mother Goose program with my daughter when she was an infant. And actually, I did a few over the years between 0 and 3 as a parent. And I guess there are parents that jump in and volunteer to share songs with the group. And the facilitator of the group asked me if I would be interested in training. It was just a magical right place, right time, lucky break for me.
That's very cool.
And so I trained officially to be a parent-child Mother Goose facilitator. And realized that was the best thing that I did in my work with families. So wow. I've woven singing into all the programming that I do with families.
Will you tell me a little bit more about the roots of the parent-child Mother Goose program? Because it's not just a Nelson thing, is it?
It did start in Canada, though it has spread to the United States and, as far as I know, further as well. It started in Toronto, and this will be more than 20 years ago. And it was people working right in downtown Toronto in a fairly poor neighborhood that were wanting to find a way to bring rhymes and singing and storytelling to the lives of the parents they worked with. We know people that work with families that when you're singing and sharing early language skills like rhyming and noises, like even just with families, we know that those kids are off to a strong start in terms of speaking and even in terms of recognizing words and reading. So these very knowledgeable, they were women, decided we don't want these families to think they need to be strumming a guitar to begin singing with their kids. We don't want them to think that they need, at the time it would have been a CD player or whatever it was, that they didn't need anything to be handing them these gifts. So they started Mother Goose, Parent-Child Mother Goose, and it's an empty room, ideally. Families come into it, and we start singing. We repeat the same material, because kids love that. They want to hear it again and again.
Repetition!
And the parents learn, or the caregiver, the same way that children learn when they're acquiring language skills. They learn the words just from hearing them. Mm. Everybody's happy because children are happy when you're singing with them. They're smiling and they're engaged. And the parents walk away each week with songs like tools in their pockets to pull out, maybe on the way home, maybe in those difficult moments when they're trying to put some food on the table, trying to change a diaper, and trying to help baby to sleep.
Wow. So the program started really as a literacy program and as a way of connecting with families and providing communication and kind of parenting tools for families.
100%. It still is that. And it's just that it can look like another kind of program. It can look like a playgroup. It can look like a food security program because we're also going to share a snack together. And maybe even the parents don't realize that what it is. We try to remind them, hey, you're here because we want to teach you some songs to use in your world. But it actually is an early literacy program.
Huh.
Yeah.
I sure felt the importance of singing when I had a young child, and I still sing away at home. I'm a terrible singer, and these days Ty will be like, "Mom, stop singing." But I used song all the time when he was little, singing in the car on the way to daycare, or you mentioned the changing the diapers, the bedtime, the monotonous, like, again and again song until they fall asleep. Mm-hmm. It felt like such a natural part of parenting, even though I would never consider myself a singer.
I'm going to hazard a guess that that might be because someone sang to you. Because it is, a lot of us have that just because our parents were singing. For me, it probably was a Beatles song or Simon and Garfunkel, but our parents were singing. And so, yeah, we're singing, you know, "Okay, I'm doing the dishes while you are playing over there. Hi." You know,
how do you know our song?
We can see that families who were sung to as children, and I'll often ask a family that, "Can you share a song that you remember from your own childhood?" And a lot of the time they're songs that their parent has brought from their own culture. It's a really neat way to share your own culture with your family as well, because maybe it's a song, my dad had a song that I'm sure was a song that people sang in the pub in England.
Oh, an old drinking song, eh?
"Don't jump off the roof, Dad."
Don't.
I could sing the whole thing to you, but I mean, I've been able to sing it since I was a very small child, right? That's so it's a way to share memory. Your culture, too, with your family.
Wow. So mm-hmm. sharing, communication, literacy skills. Mm-hmm. There's this beautiful poetry in Chinese medicine, this idea about what all the different organs do. And there's this piece of poetry about the tongue being the sprout of the heart. So like the organ in our body, but also our whole energetic kind of meridian system. So when I think about singing, I think of people using their mouths and moving their tongues and sharing what's in their heart, sharing emotions. Or if nothing else, moving stuck energy. You know, some of those times when I sang to Tyus was because I was just like barely keeping it together and we just got to get home and it's okay, baby, we're almost home. And so that bit of moving energy of connecting and communicating, but also sort of opening up, smoothing the waters, maybe moving us forward, maybe from a crunchy spot in our day or a stressful spot to a more peaceful place. Or maybe it just filled my mind so that I didn't think about the other things I had going on. But I often think about that, the importance of singing, that it's not even just that it sounds good or feels good, but that we're actually changing the vibration of the world around us.
And it is, I mean, we can feel it vibrating right now, right? And yeah, I can feel it in my throat vibrating. So you do sometimes see children reaching up and they touch their parent too, and they can feel their voice as well.
Yeah. Sometimes they put their hand over their parent's mouth, like my
kid. Happens too. And sometimes that means you're not singing it right. Or I mean, just like there are songs you hate, I can say it. Kids have strong reactions to things too.
Really?
Or we share a song that "You Are My Sunshine." Mm. That's a lullaby in a certain family. And the kids will, you can see them getting cross. They're like, "We are not singing that one right now.
It is not bedtime."
So yeah, we have strong emotional reactions to music in our life.
Aww.
Yeah. Now I want to come back though to you saying you can't sing.
Yeah, can't sing.
And explore that a little bit because, of course, you can sing, right?
Well, I do it.
And I think that comes from a place of, I know that I've had a lot of adults say that to me, "Oh no, I don't sing. I can't sing." And if I dig a little deeper, I'll find out that they have a story, right? They were told to be in the back row in the choir when they were children because someone actually told them when we didn't know any better and we spoke to children that way that they couldn't sing. There's a story that I share with parents usually in the first week of a Mother Goose program. Mother Duck is singing to her ducklings, maybe, and the song goes quack, 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 and you know, somebody comes along and says, "Oh my goodness, that is like the most horrible song that I've ever heard." But at the end of the story, Mother Duck says, "Mama, sing to me your song. Yours is the most beautiful voice in the world." And Mother Duck says, quack, 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 quack. And it's true. It's your voice that your child longs to hear, whether you are a grandparent or a caregiver or a parent. That's the voice they love.
Beautiful. So again, that connecting with each other on a heart level through singing.
Okay, so now we know that singing can be important for literacy skills in children, and it may even be beneficial for our health. But we decided to reach out to a few people who sing for their living to get their perspective on what this singing thing is all about.
We called Melanie Harper, Family Programming Facilitator with the Columbia Basin Alliance for Literacy, CBAL. This conversation happened in September 2020.
Hey Mel, it's Jen Gaughan calling. I love that you have made part of your professional life always be about singing. I was telling Nicole how I first met you back in music school days and loving your musicality. And I really admire that now, so you're doing music in such an interesting way.
I know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I actually am singing for my living, you know?
You are.
I am, and I love it.
I feel like singing is super important for kids, and I don't do it as part of my profession. Why do you think singing is important for kids? Tell me your thoughts on that.
I think singing comes naturally to human beings, even if you don't think you're a singer. We vocalize all the time, so it's a really natural way to communicate. And I think having parents singing with their children is really, that's a super special bonding moment, you know, between a parent and a child. Mm-hmm. So facilitating these singing groups where we're sharing these songs and rhymes with families so they can take those songs home and engage with their children in a fun way.
As you said, like part of our nature as humans, our way of connecting and creating a real bond between parents and kids. You must have sung to so many parents and kids over the years. Do you dream about the song? Are they in your head?
Oh, my family has some good giggles about me singing nursery rhymes all the time. They definitely get stuck in my head, and that's okay. Sometimes it's an earworm you don't necessarily want, but mostly they're pretty lighthearted and fun, so definitely have fun with that. And I have facilitated now in 11 years with CBAL countless circle times with families and many beautiful connections with little ones and parents, and very special.
What an awesome experience, and thanks for doing that work and continuing to. Hey, do you have a favorite song?
I do think my favorite circle time song is the one I always start with. And I've tried other welcome songs, but then I'll always end up adding this one anyway because I like it. And it goes, should I sing it for you?
Oh, please.
Okay. It goes like this. And anyone who's come to circle time with me will know this one.
Yes, sing along, everyone.
My hands say hello. My hands say hello. Every time I see my friends, my hands say hello. My eyes say hello. My eyes say hello. Every time I see my friends, my eyes say hello. My smile says hello. My smile says hello. Every time I see my friends, my smile says hello. And like that.
Yay.
And I like it so much because we wave at each other. We look at each other and we smile at each other. It's those intentional eye contact moments with all the children in the circle that is why I love this song so much.
Yeah.
I think it's a lovely way to start a circle time and generally a great way to make friends.
Well, beautiful. And making connections. Singing is important because it connects us. Oh, I love it. Now we can feel how singing creates connections. It might even generate some friendships, and it gets us interacting with people. How else can singing be helpful? Will it bring us joy?
We interviewed Morian Jones. Mr. Mojo spoke about music during this current time of fall 2020.
I'm assuming something when I ask you this question. I'm assuming that you love singing.
Your assumption is correct. I do love singing. If there was a stronger word than love, I would choose to use that word, but I don't know of a stronger word than love right now. I adore singing. Singing is something that it's part of what makes me happy in life and healthy.
Do you want to tell, can you even put it into words? Why do you love singing?
I don't know. I don't know if it is anything that is rational. It's something that my body feels like it has this need to do. And also, it's a way for me to soothe myself, and it's a way for me to give, to just help me let go of things in life and help me, just like I said before, feel healthy and happy. Just like for some people, like taking a walk or, you know, helps them like calm their mind or listening to music or playing sports. Yeah, for me, it's singing. It's one of the things.
Do you prefer singing alone or with others, or are they even comparable?
Yeah, I do most of my singing alone, actually. Mm-hmm. But there is, like, singing with others can be, it's interesting. It depends on it, in what context and where I do it. It can be very challenging sometimes. It just requires you to listen and also to be part of something, as opposed to just, sometimes I think I like singing because I get on my own, because I get to just express however I'm feeling in the moment, and there's a lot of freedom. But also singing with people, it can have the spine-tingling feeling that you can't get just singing on your own. There's something about when people come together and sing that's extremely powerful. And so I think, for me, one of my favorite things is when I sing with people, with an audience.
I also wanted to ask you if the adults that brought you up, did they sing with you or sing for you?
No, this is a strange thing. I know. It's very interesting because we had a piano in my house when I was growing up, but no one played piano. I think my mom got it for like $50 or something. I think someone was like, oh, I'm getting rid of this piano. Maybe it was free even. Yeah, I think she sold it for $50 is what it was. But it was free. Someone gave a piano, and I think she thought, you know, as a mom, like, it would be good to have a musical instrument in the house. And so that was one of my first introductions to music. We also had, she taught First Nations. She's originally from Wales, but she came over to Canada and as a teacher, and she taught First Nations for over 30 years. So we had this little drum. Do you know those round frame drums?
Yeah.
That you hold and you just have a beater or a mallet, and that's the other instrument that I grew up with. Yeah. But nobody sang. We read. I came upon singing, I think, through friends.
When I listen to you singing, and I'm especially thinking about the work that you do for families and young people, the joy that you bring it's so infectious. And do you have a favorite song, or what are your favorite songs to sing?
My favorite songs to sing, I really like writing songs, so I really like singing my own stuff. And I like, with families, it's extra fun because a lot of the songs, you know, there's space for everyone to sing, and there's space for everyone to be a part of it. And that is one of the greatest things. I do. I really love singing my own stuff. I love even just making up songs. Like, this is how a lot of the songs come to be. It's just I'm at home with my guitar, and all of a sudden I get an idea. Or I'm out sometimes shopping or doing something, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'll be singing a little something to myself that feels good, and then it'll turn into a song. So I enjoy, I guess I really, to answer your question, I guess again, I just really enjoy singing a lot of my own stuff.
I like your stuff too. In the podcast, originally we were thinking about coming around to the sadder side of singing right now, which is that mm-hmm. we can't right now find ways to easily to share singing in public or share singing together. How are you making that work for you?
I'm still finding a way. I'm really fortunate, actually, where I live in Victoria. There's a grocery store, a green grocer called the Root Cellar, and they've got a stage at the front of their store, and I'm able to play there once in a while. They have me behind a plexiglass shield.
Right.
It's amazing because I can still do what I love to do, and people can still listen to it and enjoy it. And there's also still some interaction, which is very important, especially because it's a shopping, because it's a grocery store, a lot of families shop there. So I still actually have an opportunity to play for kids sometimes. And so sometimes I'll bust out some of my own material, and sometimes I'll bust out Down by the Bay or other songs that they would know, you know, where we can get creative together and we can come up with some funny rhymes and some funny lines or sounds or whatever. So I'm fortunate. I'm very, very fortunate in that sense where I can actually still, I still have the ability to perform. And a lot of good has come out of it for people, and myself included. Because of the situation and because of the climate, this was more so when everything was, there was more of a sense of unknown, and you could really sense the anxiety in the air. It gave me an opportunity to see exactly how powerful music is, because I would play at this location, and you could feel right away and see people relax as soon as the music, as soon as there was live music on, and you could see how much it brightened some people's day, and it was instantaneous, and it was a really powerful reminder to me that my role as a musician, I can't take it for granted, and I definitely, there's a lot of beauty, a lot of power in this role in society.
I feel the wind blowing at my back, and I know it's time to move on. I hear my train coming down the track, and I know it's time to move on. From the long cold winter into the joyful sounds of the spring, where the nights and the carnival lights, they make my body sing. And as I look deep down in the well, I can find the reflection.
So music at the grocery store can bring us happiness, and seeing that joy in people's faces. Singing with people is important. Can singing help us spiritually?
We interviewed Robin Lamb, music director, teacher, and minister.
Robin, I'm assuming something here. I'm assuming, because I've been in a room with you when you're singing, that you love singing.
I do, yes.
Why do you love singing?
I mean, probably because I was good at it, to be honest. When I was a kid, that was... But I find it to be... It can be very emotionally releasing in a way where you can kind of yell, but people like to listen to it, but you're yelling, so that feels good. And I find it very satisfying as well, like when you do it properly and everything's lined up, you're using your whole entire body, so it actually feels really good physically.
Thank you. Do you prefer singing alone, or do you prefer singing with other people?
I prefer singing with other people. Well, I do like singing alone, that's not true, but I like, if I can sing, you know, like harmony with four people is the dream. The sound of like people singing together in harmony, when it all sort of hits the sweet spot and you get this like sparkly sound to it. So that's pretty good stuff.
What is your favorite song, or what are your favorite things to sing?
Oh, well, I like to sing Broadway musicals a lot because I'm a real big nerd. So that's my favorite. I also really enjoy singing Celtic music, and also weirdly like what is called, like, I guess it's early classical music. So like Purcell and Bach, and it's sort of like really fast moving light stuff, which people wouldn't necessarily think because I have quite a low, dark voice, but I love singing that stuff.
Are you finding ways right now, today, in the world we find ourselves, to sing with other people?
Well, fortunately, because of one of my jobs, because I'm the minister of music at the United Church, I do get to sing with one or two other people at least once a week, which is lovely. I definitely am missing, you know, doing musicals with my friends and even just having, you know, guest singers come in to the church and sing with me is something that I miss.
Right now, what is your favorite musical?
Well, my very favorite musical is Into the Woods, which
wow.
is a Stephen Sondheim musical that it's all these different fairy tales mixed together. My favorite current one is a musical called Hadestown that I actually got to see in New York on Broadway last summer. The first musical to ever been produced on Broadway with an all-female creative team, which is insane, but it was just amazing.
Have you ever found, in your years of working in music, have you worked with children?
I sure have. Yeah. I've taught a lot of singing lessons to kids, and then I've been involved with the Capitol Theater Summer Youth Program. So I've worked with kids in that capacity as well.
I know that we'll be sharing this with a lot of parents. And so I was also curious to ask you, when you were growing up, when you were a baby or a young person, did your people sing with you or to you? Do you know?
No, neither of my parents are particularly musical. I think they took me to see Peter Pan in Spokane when I was about six. And that was around the time that like Little Mermaid came out as well. And so I saw that and I was going down the ski hill singing Little Mermaid all the time. And I just started singing.
I'm so surprised to hear that answer. I felt sure that maybe that you were singing since you were, you know, old enough to make sounds at all.
I mean, I think all kids do naturally. I think that's just, especially when they're below five and six, they just, most kids make bizarre noises. I think the most important thing people and kids especially can do is learn how to sing with their real authentic voice and not worry so much about sounding pretty and perfect. And I wish someone had told me that a lot earlier, that it's better to sound like you and have it be comfortable than try to sort of force yourself into sounding like what you hear on a recording, which we all do, but yeah.
I was talking to Jen about singing, and she said something that I hear so often when I'm singing with families is mm-hmm. adults saying, oh, I can't sing.
Oh, I know.
And
oh,
yeah, yeah, speak to that. I mean, of course they can sing.
It's such an interesting thing, and I found teaching particularly adults that you have to actually dig through all these layers of childhood beliefs around not being able to sing. Like if you were in a choir when you were in grade four and someone told you just to mouth the words, like that can lead to a lifelong belief that you can't sing. I have met one person in my whole life who actually is actually tone deaf. If you can talk, you can sing. You just have to, it's just scary. And I think, I mean, it's a very cheesy thing, but I think too, adults like lose the ability often to like breathe deeply, and in the way you breathe in singing, which is very different than like, let's say, sort of like yoga or breathing or Pilates breathing. It's, you like have to expand your stomach and your ribs. You have to get bigger and breathe really deeply. And I think a lot of adults are they don't like to do it. Like I've watched that in teaching, and trying to actually get people to breathe that way is very difficult.
There's something else we should all practice. I'm going to practice it as soon as we say goodbye.
Yeah, you should. It's fun.
So, we spent some time exploring singing.
We did, singing and music. We spoke to a few guests.
Fa la la la. What do you
think, now that we've talked to some musicians and singers, what's your takeaway from our conversations with them?
You know, what was really surprising for me was that both Robin and Maureen weren't from musical families, that they didn't have parents who were singing, playing instruments necessarily. So, although we did talk about singing with your kids helps them on their path to language and literacy acquisition, but it won't necessarily give you a musical child. If you want your child to be a musician, then maybe you should take them skiing.
Seems like that might be a plan.
What about you? Do you feel like there was something that you learned after listening to our guests?
I loved that Robin invited us to sing with our authentic voice. And I'd like to apply that to all parts of life, to just be authentically ourselves. And I love when she spoke about breathing, because that's pretty important. Let's just keep on breathing.